Let me ask them, how many here prefer something that is practical and helpful compared to simply just talking at or talking about a problem? Can I see your hands? Most of us. Okay, yeah, that'd be the way that I'm oriented as well. So if I were to ask you today, could you give me something that would be helpful, maybe the most helpful thing that you've learned so far concerning work, money management, you know, getting along, parenting, school, marriage? How many would be able to say, if I were to, you know, just come to you and say, what you got, how many would have at least one thing to offer about one of the things up here? Again, let me see your hands. Okay. I wish right now that I could just, you know, kind of start going, hey, what you got, what you got, what you got, what you got, because it'd be fascinating. One of the benefits, just one of the many benefits that we know take place when you're in a group, and we are always encouraging you to find a group here at Fox River, a small group that you can be a part of, is that you get the opportunity to do just that. Not only ask the question, but to actually drill into some of these things and be benefited by it, as well as some very entertaining and interesting things that come on as well. So let me just, again, make a word of encouragement. John mentioned earlier, group link tonight. If you're not in a group, this is perfect for you. All you got to do is come out at 6 o'clock. It goes from 6 to 7:30. We're meeting at the Muskego campus. If you haven't seen it, you'll like it. But this is perfect, I said, because if you are a football fan, you can watch the first game, and this is going to be the break that you're looking for. You can, as soon as the second game starts, you hit the record button on your DVR. You walk out the door, you do group link, and get the benefit of that, but then you come home, and you can watch the game commercial free. Just going, I mean, like, isn't that a beautiful life to be able to do it? So, I mean, we've set this just for you, as well as those of you who aren't football fans as well. Now, talking about practical. One of the, I'll call it the secondary benefits of God's 10 words to us, often referred to as the 10 commands, are that it's an extremely practical help that God gives us. Now, that's not the primary reason he gave them to us. Primary reason was to open his heart to us, to reveal what's in his heart for us. But as I said, a very cool secondary benefit is you take any one of the commands and you begin to find God's greatest helps for these that are in those 10 words to us. Let me do just a real quick review. If you're brand new to the series, I Kiss Religion Goodbye. What we've learned so far is this. You already know that we've got the Ten Commandments that are kind of like a baseline for us. We want you to know that God did not give the Ten Commandments in order to get relationship with them. It's a very common misnomer today. People feel like if you keep these 10 rules from God, then you're going to be able to get into heaven, or God's going to be happy with you, or you can be blessed by God that way. He didn't give them to him to get relationship, but in fact, he gave his 10 words to us, these 10 commandments, in order that we could grow in our relationship. It's for those that are in relationship with him. We've looked at three thus far. First one, know God's before me. This is something that we pointed out that every one of us deal with on a weekly basis, something trying to get to that number one spot in front of God. Second command. No image. In other words, God said, don't try to shrink me down, package me so you could manage me or manage my presence. Can't do it. Don't want you to go there. Third commandment, use my name. Don't misuse. In other words, God gave us his name for purpose. The special name, Yahweh, the name we talked about last week, he said, there is a whole message just embedded in the name, and it's all about this, that you matter to me, that I've done something great, and I want to invite you into relationship with me. So it's a reminder both of that, as well as it's a motivator to be able to do and to live as God intends us to carry his name in the right way, to let it impact us in the powerful way that he intended it. Which brings us to number four. The fourth word from God, the fourth commandment is this: remember the Sabbath. Now, how many are just jazzed about this? You can barely contain your excitement. Let me see those hands. Like, I've been waiting for this above all, right? Now, some of you might be thinking, oh, I didn't know this one was coming. I'd have skipped today. Or I better get double credit in heaven for, you know, having to go through this one. Now, why would you think such a thing? Because this is just an Old Testament thing, right? Or it's a nice idea in theory, but I'm too busy. Or we don't understand what the real intent or purpose was for it. You see, the fourth commandment, we'll discover, is not only the most misunderstood, but it is the most dismissed of all of the commandments. So let's take our Bible study and see what God actually had to say to us with regards to this. Exodus chapter 20, we find, here are the Ten Commandments. Now, if you didn't bring a Bible with you, if you can grab a pew Bible, please do so. I think it'll be very helpful for you. We'll use it about three different times today, so keep it handy. Verse 8, it starts out, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now, if you've got your Bible, let me encourage you just to underline those words, or if you're using a tablet or something, to highlight those words. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. Now, you see the word there, Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D? We learned last week, whenever you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, what does that mean? What's the word there? Yeah, Yahweh. Okay, that's the covenant. That's the relational name of God. So it brings it right back into relationship with him. So he says, this is a Sabbath day to Yahweh, your God. On it, you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. Now, I want to take a couple minutes and just kind of unpack what it is that God is saying for us here, because you really can't get impacted by truth if we don't understand what it is, the truth that God is, you know, speaking at that point. So, to start with, the word Sabbath in Hebrew just means rest. That's all the word Sabbath means. Could be translated to break, as in to take a break. Interestingly, this is the longest, the most words that are packed into this one commandment here, as God elaborates on this more than any of the other ones that are there. There's a key term that is used here, I want to highlight for us right now. It's actually a key term in the Bible. For 3,000 words, you know, since the giving of the 10 words from God all the way through the time of Jesus, everybody cued in with regards to the word remember. You see, remember to them wasn't simply a cognitive exercise. It wasn't remember as in the sense of, do you remember the name of the 50 states? Or do you remember the capital of the 50 states? You know, just this mental exercise there. To them, remembering always meant engagement. To remember something was to engage with it. So you'd bring it to mind either to act upon it or to be impacted by it. Jesus used this word very strategically, very purposefully in communion. He said with communion, every time you do this, I want you to what? To remember me. It's not saying, hey, did you forget, you know, that I existed? Do you remember I'm a historical figure back there? It's not saying that. I want you to re-engage with me. So, to that end, Sabbathing is always going to be characterized by and with remembering. Remembering what? Well, three things we've got to remember. The first one is God says, I want you to remember me. Remember Yahweh. If you weren't with us last week, we'll just sum it up by saying there is an entire message of God's heart and relationship with God embedded in that name. As I mentioned, Jesus said, I want you to remember me, communion's that reminder, in order that you will stay connected. Sometimes the word uses abide. Jesus said, if you'll abide in me, if you'll live your life connected with me, it's going to result in you bearing fruit, or it's going to result in evidences of God's working in your life. So, Sabbathing is about remembering God, staying connected to Yahweh, because that's going to be the heart of the whole matter. Then, the commandment tells us, I want you to remember, we've just read this, creation's lesson. Now, lesson of creation was this. God created the world, all that there is, in how many days? Yeah, 6 days he created it. And on the seventh day, God did what? Yeah, God rested. Now, why did God rest on the seventh day? Was he tired? Like, I'm wore out. That was a lot of work, creating the universe and all that. No, God didn't rest because he was tired. He rested in order to differentiate something. In other words, he said he did it to celebrate. He did it to commemorate and to celebrate. He looks back and said, this is good, this is good, this is good, this is good. In other words, he's going like, this is so good. I need to celebrate, mark with celebration, everything that's happened and been accomplished that way. So let me give you just a real quick bonus maxim that will go with the series here with regards to creation lesson. God says this, when it comes to work, work is, say it with me, oh my, it was painful, wasn't it? Like, oh. My work isn't good. Well, maybe you would say your job right now isn't good or there's some difficulties there, but God said work is something good. In other words, your life is better with work than without it. And all God's people said, yeah. But I know. You know, mindset we can get into. Truth matters this. Laziness, aversion to work, it doesn't just conflict. It's not compatible with godliness, laziness, godliness. But actually, it's something that would pull us away from godliness that way. If you've ever experienced unemployment, and if you're going through it right now, you know it is no laughing matter at all. But if you've lost a job or haven't been able to get a job, you know the toll that that can take on you. One of the reasons is by not being able to work, it just throws everything off in your life. Even if you're getting unemployment, right? You get an unemployment check, but you're not working and you go like, things just aren't right. They're not good in my life for having, you know, done this. All kinds of unintended consequences come as a result of that. Retirement is almost as bad as unemployment. If you're retired, well, you know what? You're just waiting to die, aren't you? Well, just telling you the Bible, right? No. Why do you retire? So I don't have to work anymore? Hopefully not, because if you just stop and disengage from it, life does get to go this way. Retirement without purposefulness in your life, that's very, very problematic. Now, what the Bible is just going to bring us back here is this. When we Sabbath, we are going to break from that which is normal. Remember, this was a lesson that God gave. 6 days work. How many days work? It means, yeah, 6 days work. But the seventh, it's going to be different for you. But there's a third thing God says I want you to remember. Not only remember me, not only remember this lesson that I gave to you, I modeled for you in creation, but he also says, I want you to remember your deliverance. I want you to remember relationship. And let me show you where God talks to us about that. If you have your Bible again, I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we're actually turning 40 years into the future from Exodus chapter 20. One of the advantages of having an open Bible right now, you could start in verse 6 and go like, yep, the commands are all the same right here, with this addition. In verse 15, so again, verse 12 says, observe the Sabbath day, so it talks about Sabbath. But in verse 15, God adds something new here. And he says, I want you to remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that Yahweh, your God, covenant name, new name, brought you out of there with a mighty and an outstretched arm. In other words, I did something unmistakable in your deliverance. And it goes on to say, therefore, and every time the word therefore is in the Bible, you want to look, you know, why is it therefore? What is it this it's communicating? Because of this, Yahweh your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath. So he goes, every Sabbath day, I want you to remember this deliverance that has taken place in your life. You see, for the previous 400 years, none of the Israelites took a Sabbath. Do you know why the Sabbath had gone idle, why there was no Sabbathing for the previous 400 years in Israel's life? It's because they were what? Slaves. And slaves don't get to what? Yeah, no rest for slave, no day off for a slave, no Sabbathing for a slave. God says, when I gave you the Sabbath, it is a gift I'm giving to you. Put that in the back of your mind right now. The Sabbath is a gift. God says, it's a gift I'm giving to you, and it's going to be an important reminder. Remember what I did to get you where you are and to give you what I've given to you. You see, remember 40 years has passed? In that 40 years, there's been a lesson that the Israelites have needed to learn before they can go in to the promised land. The ones now that God is speaking to, they were children, they were teenagers in Egypt. Their life wasn't nearly as bad as the adults. And God says to them, I want you to remember your deliverance. If you were a teenager when you received Jesus, when you were a child if you received Jesus, as compared to an adult, God's always saying, I want you to remember when it happened. I want you to remember that I have brought deliverance to you as well. You see, when we made the decision to open our life up to Jesus, to come to him with what it is that he had done for us, you know, his death, his resurrection, and saying, God, I need that. I need it for my forgiveness, but I need it for relationship with you. When you did that, Jesus says, I brought a deliverance spiritually to you, a redemption, different word for deliverance, to you. And I want you to never forget what it was, the impact there. I'll put it in these terms now of the series. I want you to remember what it was like to have religion and the difference in having relationship and how important that difference is. Now, Don and Becky share a little bit of their story. They did in our introduction today. Let me show you more of Becky's story right now concerning this personal deliverance right here.
We're both brought up in the Catholic Church, and until a certain age, I was brought to the Catholic Church, but then we just stopped going. My dad was made to go as a child and didn't feel like he wanted to do that to all of us. And so for me, it created a void that I didn't understand. And so by when I met Don and we got pregnant with our son, it became this important thing to me to have, to be able to give him what I didn't have from my parents. And so we started going faithfully to the church every week, and I struggled. I couldn't figure out what I was doing wrong. I would try and try and try so hard to be what they wanted me to be and do what they said I should do. And I just felt myself falling. And my best picture of it is standing in front of a big redwood tree and looking up and seeing God at the top and going, I'm never gonna make it to the top of that tree, and just feeling this hopelessness and this despair and just empty and lonely inside. So when I was invited to come to Fox River, it took a while to make that decision to come because I was afraid. And then when I came, I ended up getting here to church early and didn't realize I wasn't supposed to go into the auditorium at the time because they were rehearsing. But I sat down in the back and listened to him rehearse, and it was an immediate sense of peace that washed over me and just a voice that said, you're home. This is where you're supposed to be. And so now when I fall, which I do often, there's this amazing, amazing grace-filled hand that reaches out to me and says, that was interesting. Would you like to try it my way? Religion to me is empty, unsatisfying, lonely, and frustrating, maybe, because you just never can get there. I think about God now as someone that is approachable and someone that is waiting for me to come to Him and ask for His help. A relationship with God is easier. It's easy. It's fulfilling and peaceful, and it's just amazing.
Let's say thanks to Becky. Don will share his story next week, and Becky and Don are tenders over at our Muskego campus. If you've got a story about moving from religion to relationship, we'd love to hear it. You just put story in the back of a communication card, contact information on the front, drop a basket on the way out. Love to be able to, you know, to hear that as well there. Now, one of the important lessons that we're learning is this. That is that religion wants to institutionalize God's words. In other words, it wants to turn God's words into rules. And the Sabbath, in particular, had become the day of rules. Now, follow with me. The religious leaders, because they took God's word so seriously, they said, we are going to look beyond the words themselves and see what's embedded in this for us. Kind of the hidden code here. So here's what they did. They counted all of the letters that were in the fourth commandment, 39 Hebrew letters in the fourth commandment. They then devised 39 different categories of work or prohibitions that you could do, 39 different ways the Sabbath could be broken. And then they made 39 rules under each of the categories, which meant there were 1,521 ways you could break the Sabbath every day, every time it came around. How many would look forward to that? I mean, heavy, right? Burdensome. And some of the things you're just going like, really? That's crazy. Did you know that on the Sabbath day that it was against the law to put in your false teeth? That'd be a problem, wouldn't it? If you had contacts, no contacts that way. On the Sabbath, writing was prohibited. You were limited to two letters that you could write at any one time. Not two letters as in letter A, letter C, two letters. Which made texting nearly impossible back in the day. True. When it came to heat, fire in any way, on the Sabbath day you could not start a fire, nor could you extinguish one. You couldn't add fuel to one. If your house caught on fire on the Sabbath day, you couldn't do anything to extinguish it or put it out. You just had to let it burn. If a child was in there, you could go in to rescue the child, but then you let your house burn down to the glory of God. Because that was what good Sabbath people did. And the rules just go on and on and on. So you're thinking, that's crazy. But not nearly as crazy as things could get, as religion can make God's words. Can I give you an example of that? Turn over one more time in your Bibles with me to Luke. And in Luke chapter 13, page 1622, verse 10 starts out on a Sabbath day. Now, anytime when you're reading Jesus' story, any of the Gospels, and you get the word on a Sabbath day, mark my word, things are going to be happening. Jesus knows it's the Sabbath day. And Jesus wants to recap capture the Sabbath day to what he knows God's intended it for. In fact, Jesus is going to say this, that the Sabbath, man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. So just, again, they'll tuck that away back there. But this particular case goes this way. On a Sabbath day, Jesus was teaching one of the synagogues, so he is in church, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over, could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Next word. What is it? Indignant. Say it with me. Indignant. Because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." You got to get the scene. Jesus in church. Susie's there. Everybody knows Susie. Communities, people knew one another. They knew what Susie's life had been like for the last 18 years. A cripple, near invalid. All of the affliction, all of the pain, suffering, they saw on a regular basis. They had a lot of empathy for Susie that way. There's nothing they could do. On this particular day, Jesus was there and he said, "Hey, Susie, why don't you come down here?" And people were thinking like, "Oh, do you think maybe could be?" Jesus put his hands on her and said, "Susie, you know, God's grace be with you, you know, and you're healed." And everybody goes like, "Susie's healed." And Susie's like going, "Yeah, praise the Lord." And the preacher gets up there and says, "What is wrong with you people? There are 6 days to be healed. You want to get healed then? Be healed then." Now, Jesus' feeling summed up in these words: "You hypocrites," to the religious leaders. Take the hypocritical part aside for a second and just look at this, the sheer craziness. Religious leaders, we're here to help people connect with God, to help people, you know, to see their relationship growing with God, to teach God's word. And in their midst, you have God's word being proclaimed so everybody can understand it. Then you see a working of God done unmistakably. You see somebody, a part of your community, that's been healed, but you miss it. You miss it all. How can a person be so blind? Because he's focused on the rules. Same thing happens today. How can you miss God? How can you miss the glory? How can you miss the love? How can you miss the message of God? Because you got these rules. And religion gives you the rules, and all you see is the rules, and you miss God. That is what? It's craziness. But that's where religion can draw us into, and a lot of us have been there in our lives as well. So, what is the purpose of the Sabbath? I mean, we've learned some important things. We know what about Sabbath, you know, remember, but what does God intend for us with regards to the Sabbath? 4 words I want you to write down. Write down the word refocus, rejoice, rest, and recharge. If I were to ask you, how many here value some meaningful R&R time in your life? Cast your hands. Meaningful R&R time, right? Okay, that's why I try to capture these words in R's. This is at the heart of the Sabbath that God says for us. So let's talk about R&R, at least the first two up there. So R&R one would be, on the Sabbath, it's to refocus and to rejoice. God says to us, every one of you need to regularly refocus yourself spiritually. It's so easy to get out of focus that way. I mean, just that's what life can do to us, right? So he says to us, here's one of the things I want you to do. He talks about in Hebrews chapter 10. So I want to make sure that you're coming together to help you with this refocus. Now, he starts off by saying this. Every one of us need people in our lives to help motivate us to acts of love and good works. That's what groups do. Now, again, if you're not in a group, I sure hope that you'll find a group because this is going to be a part of it. But he also says, I want you to come. I want you to prioritize coming together on Sunday because it will help you with your refocus on me. He said, but that's not the only thing that I want you to do. It's not just about coming to church. That's what Sabbath is all about. He said, it's also about making sure that you're taking time to rejoice. Now, what's he mean by that? It means it's taking the time I need to think about the things in my life that I can be rejoicing over. Each of us have two lists that we could focus on, right? Every one of us have the crap list in our life. Here's all the crap stuff that we've got right here. And if you focus on this, the problems you got, the struggles you got, you're going to feel like the list is titled, right? But then you've got other things that if you took the time to think about, what is it that I have to be thankful for? What is it that God wants me to remember, you know, to hold close to me? And you take the time to remember what you have to be thankful for. You focus on this, it's going to cause you to rejoice. Jesus said, those that stay connected with him, you know, abide with him, remember him, his joy is going to be in your life. But that's going to take some time. Not just a moment or two, but if you'll take some time on your Sabbath to go like, which list am I focusing on? And get to the place where you can rejoice. That's the first part of Sabbathing. Refocus yourself spiritually. Refocus on God. Bring him back into focus. Rejoice. The second part of Sabbathing, R&R 2, is this. It's about rest and recharging. Now, this is very individualized. Like I say, this is different from the first. All of us need to do the first. Refocus, rejoice, and it's going to look pretty much the same, you know, coming together. But this part, this is very different. I got to ask you, what helps you to recharge your batteries? Now, here's this individual part. For some of you out there, you recharge, you rest by taking a nap. How many nappers are here? Good. Person next to you is doing it now. Just tell him he's talking about you, all right? For me, you know, napping, not into it at all. You know, it's a punishment to take a nap. I was talking to some people after, you know, after the services, and, you know, one person said, for me, going out and cutting my grass, that's how I recharge my batteries. How many go like, that is not how I recharge my batteries, right? You're different, right? For another person, they said, for me, baking is how I recharge my batteries. How many like to bake? Good. I like to eat, all right? And if it's not rich, I'm not interested, all right? But, you know, there's these unique ways. And you've got to, you know, realize, what is it and when can I do it? Sometimes you're recharging. It's not going to take place on Sunday. It's going to take place another time of week. For example, if you're a mother of a young child, do you ever get to Sabbath? Right? And you're going, I never get to ride, never get to charge. But for you, maybe mom time is going to be perfect, you know, on Tuesday mornings. You come out, and that's where you get a time to recharge yourself, because that's going to be, you know, personalized to you. It's going to just, you know, keep bringing us back to this. Why? Why Sabbath? Why is Sabbathing so important? Why did God put this into the commandments of all things? Why is this God's heart for us? Well, let me ask you this. How many have one of these at home? I'll be a little more specific. How many have a dull knife at home? Get them up high. Dull knife at home. All right, I didn't say dull wife. I said dull knife. I would never say such a thing. Even though my wife's gone right now, she may listen to this tape, and she would use this knife in another way. I'd be glad it would be dull at that point. How did this knife get dull? Yeah, just through using it, right? I mean, you use it, and you use it, and you use it, and you use it, and you use it. This knife right now, you'd have a hard time cutting through butter. But if you had any real cutting or any serious thing to do, forget it. It'd be nothing but, you know, work and hacking. Just wouldn't work that way. Life dulls us. It's the reason why some of you are dull. All right, life has dulled you. God knows this. If you won't take time to sharpen yourself, you will get duller and duller. You can talk about spiritually, you can talk about mentally, you can talk about effectiveness in any way that way. Number one reason why we don't Sabbath. See if you can guess. Because I'm too busy. Yeah, I'm too busy. I don't have time to Sabbath. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands if you have time to Sabbath or not. I want you to hear this. the busier you are, the more you need to Sabbath. The busier you are, the more you need it, the more indispensable it comes to you. Now you go like, hey, I own my own business. I don't have the luxury of, 6 days on and one day off that way. Same thing applies to you, dull. And you will get duller and less effective if you don't take that time to break. The word holy, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, doesn't mean miserable. Anybody grow up in a home in which on Sunday you couldn't do anything fun? Some of you go like, oh, I remember those days. Didn't like, Sunday or the Sabbath at all that way. That's not what it means. Different is, it's different from the other six. Here's what I do on the sixth. The seventh isn't catch-up day. It's rest, refocus, recharge, refresh. That's the intent of it. Let me wrap it all up with this. It's deep. It's practical, but it's deep. And I save these things for the very end just to torment those that would leave early. You leave early, you miss the good stuff, all right? The fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath. Here's what happens, we discover. This reinforces 1 through 3. If you got 4 where it needs to be, 1 through 3 come into place. And, this is not going to be a surprise to you, it will fortify us for 5 through 10. It's amazing, isn't it? Here's what I want you to write down. Another reason why, when all the blanks are filled in, don't put your papers away, because you might miss something. I want you to write this down, these 4 letters. T-G-I-S. Here's what I want you to do. I want you, on your calendar this week, today, I want you to put in T-G-I-S in its appropriate spot. Now everybody knows what that means, right? It means, thank God it's Sabbath. T-G-I-S, right? And here's what you do. Where you're going to be able to take the time to refresh, refocus, I want you to write that in your calendar. It's important because not everybody has a 5 or 6 day work week. You may do 4 on, 3 off. You're like, that messes you up, right? Or you may have some other irregularities to your schedule that goes on that way. But if you'll put this on, if you will calendar it in, T-G-I-S, nobody else at work is going to know what it means necessarily if they got a group calendar. But you're going to see that. You're like, this is the time for me to recharge, refocus, to step away, to do what God's asked me to do, and then be ready to step back into it again. If you don't have relationship with God, he says, would you give up religion and receive what Jesus has made possible for you? If you do, please listen to my heart for you and the helps that I have in my life. Should we pray together? Thank you again for the commandments, Lord. The more we learn, the more we go, this is what I need. These aren't intended as a burden for me to carry, but as your blessing to me in my life, a gift. May we receive the gift and use it wisely and not ignore it. For those that are here, and Lord, we're pretty much stuck in religion. We're ready to give that up for what Jesus made possible. And as best we know how, to open ourselves up to that and to receive you, Jesus. For every one of us that have, to make sure that we remember in Sabbathing, and allow ourselves to be resharpened for the life that you desire for us to be able to be carrying out. Help us with this, we pray, please. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, amen. Amen.